We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Tuesday, March 26, 2024, reunited, and it feels adequate, is what we'll call it. I am joined tonight by the full crew. From last week's guy who ditched us, he left me and Owen to our own devices and is back to try and get us to talk about small and fast people, which I will simply refuse to do. But Jacob Morley is back. And Jacob, it's a month from the NFL draft as we sit here and record. Is there anything you want to tell me about maybe finding some cool takes on that?
Yeah, there's some cool stuff that you could get in the Green Bay Packers draft guide powered by Packer Report. We are fully in the season of talking about tiers and being spreadsheet warriors with, you know, who the Packers might take. But I'm kind of at the point now where it's you you guys probably can relate to this, where you watch a player and you kind of earmark guys that are like, oh, that guy seems like a Packer. And then you're like, well, let's wait for the testing. And it's just kind of a big filter where it's you always start with the tape and you look at these players and you're like, man, like, you know, that guy just seems like he just plays like a Packer. He's got all these traits. He's got all these things. Oh, he tested like the Packers like. And then, you know, sometimes these guys turn into Rashawn Gary. Sometimes these guys turn into Dontavian Wicks. Sometimes these guys turn into Elton Jenkins, you know, guys that just made a lot of sense throughout the whole process. And then they end up being Green Bay Packers. If you want to, you know, have the answers to the test, buy that draft guide, because the last couple of years that we've done it, I am proud of, you know, the fits that we've been able to get for this team and the accuracy that we've been able to do it at. And, you know, one thing that's really nice about the Packers is, they haven't really had anyone outside of what Mike Sherman for a couple of years that was not a Ron Wolf tree type guy. And so you can go back decades and decades and kind of look at how the Packers handle their business when it comes to the NFL draft and who the players are that they typically target and, you know, and all that. And that's stuff that you can all read about in the draft guide. So that will come out April 8th. If you pre-order it now, you go to go to Packer Report, go to my Twitter, go to Jacob's Twitter. It's there. You can find it, pre-order, get it for $8.99. And I think you'll like it. So yeah.
Pre-order time is running out as well. I'm also joined by Owen Reese, the requisite smart person of this podcast trio that we have here. Owen, have we established it?
We're working on it. Got to get bigger. But I can tell you, once you think that it's established, you can run it again. Like, that was like, I've always been like a firm believer that like, you're not a real running back unless it takes you like 25 or 30 carries to really work up a good lather, you know? Like that's when the body blows really start to happen. So no, it's good, man. We're full steam ahead, right? It's a fun time of the year too, where like a lot of the hypotheticals are becoming a bit more real, right? Or at least like more legitimately could be. And as I've talked about with a couple different people, both in the Packers sphere and not, there are a lot of teams in the NFL that their fans do not have a good gauge of what they want to do or what they could be thinking about doing. And whether it's at times very annoying for us, and at times very cool that we do have such a good, we as a collective Packers fan base, we have enough people that care about this, that do enough research, and we are pretty good at figuring out who and when they are be interested in when they could go. And so again, check out, I'm not writing for this one, but I have in the past, check out the Packers draft guide. All the other good stuff. Like I said, it's very targeted, which is good. Right. And the people that are doing the work know. And so that makes it easy, right? Because there are no, by the time you get to the draft, there will be no like what in the F moments, which is always a slightly comforting thing, I think.
Yeah, I think the last what in the F moment was Jordan Love. But prior to that, it's been a while since I've had one. The Jordan Love thing eventually like made sense. It was just I never thought they would actually end up doing it. You know what I mean?
It was right before he got measured for his gold jacket, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right arm just a little bit longer than his left is my understanding. So good for him. And I say that, I make that reference to say I'm begging you, Adam Sandler, and not Christopher Walken. What the hell is his name? Shooter McGavin, whatever your actor's name is.
Couldn't tell you.
Please don't make Happy Gilmore 2. We don't need it. Society does not need that. Part of the reason some things are so good is because there's a finite number of them. It's the same with NFL games. We didn't need 17 games. 16 was fine. We don't need 27 college football games or whatever it's going to be next season. 12 was okay. Sometimes less is more. So Adam,
like six playoff teams.
Like six playoff teams. Although I say that now on a on a podcast where the seventh playoff team beat the piss out of the two seed and
the best seven seed ever. Many are saying.
People are saying.
Do they hang a banner for that, or is that just in Minnesota?
It'd be in Minnesota, yeah.
It'd be a Minnesota thing. Okay, so I'm Jacob Westendorf. I'm your host for tonight's show. Like Owen said, check out the draft guide, the Green Bay draft guide. Not to be confused with the original draft guide, nor am I the original Green Bay draft expert, but I am here to help you as a copy, if you will. And I am with Owen. I got one more question to you. You said about 25 to 30 carries to get somebody lathered up. What kind of bonus points do you get if you're like Blake Corum against Penn State and you split your nose and have like the Keith Brooking bloodlines going down your face?
I think there is some type of like synergistic effect between if you're working up a good lather, but like the amount of grit is like literally like secreting from your forehead. Like that's like that it multiplies. Like the old John Ritchie. Like the with for the Raiders,
yeah.
Every other game would just like be bleeding from the bridge of his nose. I'm like, whoa.
He's a fullback, and his job is to run his face into people. It makes perfect sense to me.
If you bleed in the end zone, it breeds more touchdowns. That's where touchdowns grow.
I think that's analytics, but we'll see about. I'm pretty sure that's how that works, but we will see how that goes. Now that we've had 8 minutes of general nonsense, let's get to the topic for tonight, and that is the boys are down in I believe Florida. And talking some competition type stuff. And Brian Gutekunst spoke to the media today, and he started. He talked about Jordan Love. Tom Silverstein had a report that the Packers are going to try to extend Kenny Clark, which is good news, I think. Are we, I guess all of us, are we in favor of a Kenny Clark extension? I know it's a third contract and it'll be a market setter, but he was so young, such kind of a unique player. I'm not going to make the joke about his age because everyone has made that by this point. But I'm in favor. He's the only defensive lineman. I'll say this. He's the only defensive lineman in Green Bay that I am currently convinced is good. And I say that with respect to guys like Carl Brooks and Devontae Wyatt to a lesser extent. And TJ Slayton's a nice little role player. I don't think he's going to be in Green Bay beyond 2024. In fact, I think there's a guy they're going to draft to replace him, but I will reserve that take until closer to the draft. But I'm in favor of that extension. You know, anybody who listens to me kind of knows the deal. I don't really care about how much money they're paying somebody as a fan of the team. I don't care about salary cap dollars down the road and all that stuff. If there's anything I think we should have learned since 2020 is they figure out the things they want to. And these guys are a hell of a lot smarter than we are. And by the time we get to that point years from now, it just doesn't matter anymore. I remember, you know, when the conversation surrounding was, how are they going to be able to keep Aaron Rodgers and all these guys? Well, then they did, you know, and how are they going to be able to keep Jordan Love and all these guys? And everyone's convinced that the only way to win a championship is if you have a quarterback making no money, which completely ignores the fact that Patrick Mahomes has won the last two. Now, granted, Pat's not a great comparison, but he makes $1 billion and he played for the Super Bowl. Like, I just think that Jordan Love is going to be fine to get his extension, which we'll get to here in just a bit. But, Owen, we're in favor of a – I know defensive tackles are not your friend, but we are in favor of a Kenny Clark extension, right?
Yeah, I mean – defensive tackles and I don't always get along, but I can certainly tell you how much they are valuable when they are very good. Kenny Clark, and just like also has been the best player on this defense for, he doesn't get interceptions. I mean, like Jair has also been very good. Don't get me wrong, but like Kenny Clark has been in an non-advantageous scheme for his ability level nearly his entire career. And despite that has been a top 10 defensive tackle in the NFL for nearly his entire career. I don't have any stats to back this up, but I can't like, and again, like unfortunately throughout the year, I don't get to see a ton of Packers until later in the year, just because of the college stuff. Like the amount of plays that he makes like at or around the numbers down the line of scrimmage still like astounds me on a regular basis.
You're such a
those
coach.
Are the guys, those,
you
those
are the guys, such a coach.
Those are the guys that you reward though. Right? Like,
yeah.
This is a guy who could pick his spots. He doesn't. He busts it. He's been one of the best as consistent and good of a player for Green Bay as they've had on defense in the last 6 or 7 years. And he came in as a 20-year-old rookie, I believe. So even at this point, he is only 27 or 28. That's right. Like playing 8 years in the NFL as a DT, I understand, is not easy on your body, but like, I have no qualms with them extending Kenny Clark.
Morley, I mean, he's not a receiver, so you don't care, but.
Well, I do care. I mean, so Kenny, you know, those guys, they don't grow on trees, obviously, because you already alluded to it, Jacob. You talked about, like, I think he's the only, you know, good player on the defensive line at the moment. And I agree with that. To an extent, right? Like Carl Brooks, Devontae Wyatt, like I think they've proven they can get after the quarterback, which is very valuable. Kenny Clark can do that too, but Kenny Clark can also be a force in the run game as well. Like I would say Kenny Clark is one of the only, if actually the only guy on that, you know, front, you know, that defensive tackle group that you could say does it all. And that's not just for the Packers. There's just not a lot of guys in the NFL like that. And that's why I think you extend him. But I will say, There are not a lot of defensive tackles in the National Football League that have played beyond 30 and been good. So that's I think where you start to kind of look at it and say like, okay, how long of an extension are we going? You know, because I think he's coming into his year 29, which is crazy because he's been in the league for 40 years. But that's just kind of what you're going to do. And I think the Packers operate and will continue to operate with a 2-year and we'll see type deal with Kenny. And some of it might just be, you know, hey, he's getting, I think he's between 16 and 18 million this year on the cap, which is a lot of money, but that's kind of the going rate for guys like him right now, actually. You know, like you look at the defensive tackles that got paid this offseason and that's, they got more than that. And so I think that's, you know, he's a guy that you want on this team. He's a guy that
it's odd to say, but like he's the elder statesman of this team almost, because they don't really have anyone that's, you know, in their upper 20s. You know, I think what Preston's 31, something like that. Like, and he's
32.
Yeah, so he's ancient on this team. And those guys, you know, I still think those guys matter. I love the youth movement in Green Bay, but I think having your leaders like Preston and Kenny, guys that have done it for a long time and done it the right way, like Owen is saying, like those are the guys you want to reward. And you talk about, you know, we talk about the C word culture on this team. And as long as you can play, you know, you get rewarded. And, you know, culture kind of goes out the door once you get, you know, past the point of being able to make plays and stuff like that. But as far as culture, being able to play, being a leader right now, Kenny is absolutely a guy that needs to be on this team next season and, you know, moving forward. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they do to get that done. Very, very rarely, a couple of years ago, Jacob, we could have said never have the Packers said they want to get something done with a player and it doesn't get done. We do have a couple examples of that now, but it's still a really rare, rare thing for them to openly say we want to get something done with this guy and for that thing not to happen. So I would just consider it a matter of time, you know, until they get that extension done with Kenny.
What a phenomenal weekend of college basketball. And hopefully you, like me, enjoyed your experience even more by using Prize Picks. If you didn't, well, what are you waiting for? Right now, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with your college basketball entries today. And it doesn't stop there. They have all sorts of entries available, including NBA, NHL, and so many more. Testing my skills on Prize Picks has been the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports, especially during March Madness. It's extremely simple to play, and they even have super fun promotions available like their Taco Tuesday, where select player projections are discounted up to 25% to provide even more value and excitement. They also have incredibly easy withdrawals, and for those of you that utilize Apple Pay, you can use it for quick and easy deposits into your account. College basketball is always fun this time of year, but it was so much more fun this past weekend with Prize Picks. I'll be sticking with Caitlin Clark this week and probably adding a few NBA selections as well, especially with the return of Chris Middleton to the Bucks. So what are you waiting for? Download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. If you're like me, you've been in numerous ticket situations that were just flat out frustrating. Recently, I had tickets to a Bucks game and I could not locate the tickets that were allegedly sent to me. It ended up in a huge hassle and led to me being completely frustrated by the entire experience. Ticket purchases should not be that difficult, and thankfully, they don't have to be. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I'm already eyeing up Bucks playoff tickets, and I know I'll be purchasing them through Game Time. My experience with Game Time has been simple, seamless, and completely without hassle. No more frustration, no more awful last-minute customer service phone calls, just easy access to great tickets. My favorite aspect of Game Time is their last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off by buying last-minute tickets, and save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the big game. And best of all, it's all covered with their low price guarantee. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
So Tay is one. Are you counting Aaron Jones?
Kind of, sort of. Okay. Because he did say he wanted him back, and he's not back. So
the only reason I would maybe, and granted, this is semantics, but I would put that in a different bucket just because the Packers wanted to pay Davante Adams. They wanted to pay Aaron Jones less. But yeah, you're right. For the most part, if the Packers want a guy back, they get him back. I think that if they're willing to give Kenny Clark a top of market extension, then it'll get done. And that's the way that, like I said, he's the only guy on this roster that I'm convinced is good. Now, again, that those things can change. You know, if they were able to select Johnny Newton from Illinois or Byron Murphy from Texas or something like that, that might be a bit of a indicator of, hey, we're trying to leverage another contract here, and you know, maybe we're ready to move on after this year. Kind of for like comparison's sake, like the Packers, they've had 5 confirmed top 30 visits, and one of them is Michael Hall Jr., a defensive tackle out of Ohio Soft University down there in Columbus. But to me, that's just like, I don't know how much to read into that. I just think that I'm not against the idea of taking another defensive tackle, even if they are extending Kenny Clark, just because, I mean, they have some good players in this front. No question. Devontae Wyatt's flashes are very high end, but you know, it's the down to down stuff. It's kind of like the Justin Fields argument, but for defensive linemen. Sure, he has those capabilities, but how many plays does he actually finish? Or can you do the simple stuff kind of things too? And not only that, the Packers defensive front is good, but it's not dominant. So in my opinion, if you're not dominant in that phase, then you should be looking at trying to get better at that spot. It's kind of the same with, you know, Sean Ryan is an example I'll use. Like, people are starting to come around more to the idea, at least based on my timeline, that Sean Ryan should not just be handed the starting right guard job, and that maybe the Packers should be looking to add some competition or even upgrade that spot again. Or maybe even a better example of that is like Rashid Walker. If you're not dominant at tackle, then yes, you're looking for a dominant tackle. There's a difference between David Bakhtiari, all pro, and Rashid Walker, who was good down the stretch. And I'm not trying to poo-poo what Rashid Walker did for the last month or so of the season. But the other reality is that Rashid Walker was rotating with Yosh Nijman, who the Packers didn't even sniff at as far as re-signing as late as the end of December. So that's kind of the point I'm getting at least as far as adding a defensive tackle.
But I think the big thing too, like you want to add, or like you don't want, like, I wouldn't say that the Packers defensive tackle position is a strength necessarily.
No.
It's not a weakness, but it's not a liability, but it's not a foundational spot. But I don't think you need to wait until you're in need of something to address it, right? And that's, I think, where Kenny Clark is legitimately good, is verified good. Devontae Wyatt could be good. Carl Brooks has flashed a bit as a rotational guy. TJ Slayton is a bit limited in the situations that you would like him to apply his trade, right? So, like, if you don't, right, like, and obviously he's under contract, but, like, moving forward, if you don't extend Kenny Clark, you are fully hitching your wagon to, we are – dependent on Devontae Wyatt and Carl Brooks and insert future one technique defensive tackle, like, or keeping TJ Slayton, like, those are going to be your guys. And while they may turn out to be, and that would be cool, I think that would be an irresponsible risk for risk's sake to do. And I think that's where something where re-signing and just kind of shoring up the defensive tackle spot with Kenny Clark works. And then, like, again, if you have Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt proves to be the first-round level player that he was drafted to be, then sweet, right? But, like, and I would say that Kenny Clark is one of the rare defensive tackles in today's game that could be an above-level nose and three technique. So he gives you that flexibility as well. Again, I think he's played fairly out of position for a few years now, admirably, but I – yes, he's a guy that I think, again, I think the Packers are putting themselves in a very vulnerable position to depend on other players taking pretty sizable leaps if they don't retain him or extend him. I think, again, that's something the Packers in the past have not wanted to do or have tried to shy away from putting themselves in those spots.
And speaking out of position, we haven't mentioned Colby Wooden, who they spent, you know, a premium draft pick on last year. I don't think he's a defensive tackle in this new scheme. You know, he's a guy that played at 270 at Auburn. And if you look at him, that's what it looks like he played at last year too, when they played him inside. I think he's more of like a, you know, a sub package type guy who's probably going to kick out the end more often than I don't know. You know, that's, I'm completely speculating wildly, but you know, that he's often included in that equation when you talk about, hey, they're loaded at the defensive tackle position. They're loaded with young talent. Like, that's for sure. But are they loaded with good players? I think we all agree, no, not right now.
but hopefully.
I'll say this when it comes to Colby Wooden, I don't think it's a guarantee he makes the roster. Like I mean, right now, you know, Carl Brooks, Kenny Clark, TJ Slayton, Devontae Wyatt, unless they do something stupid between now and September, like Market and Penn, Sharpie, whatever, they're making the roster. I don't think there's any guarantee Colby Wooden does. And like I said, the Michael Hall visit, I don't think necessarily speaks to that, but Brian Gutekunst has shown before he will add competition to a room if he likes the player. He drafted Rashawn Gary 12th overall after signing two premium free agents to play those positions. He had 11 players go in front of one guy that he wanted, and they took him because they wanted to add to that position and make it a position of strength. Same deal, really, with they were planning an extension for Rashawn Gary. They had Preston Smith on a contract, and they drafted Lucas Van Ness. You know, that's just the way Gutekunst has typically operated.
Jacob, keep going. They did that with Rashawn. Who was the other first-round draft pick that year?
Darnell Savage.
Who was the other big free agent acquisition?
Adrian Amos. Yeah, and that's – I mean
– When they paid Jair Alexander, who'd they take in the first round?
Yeah, it's just that's the way they've done things, right? They want to supplement stuff.
So by the letter of the law, they're taking a safety, you know, early.
Or Gutekunst did talk about that today. So he did say the safety class. He said he thought it was a good class. They'd like to get a young player whose best football is ahead of him, which is something they said about Xavier McKinney. It just does get interesting because based on what we think we know, as far as what the spreadsheets and all that sort of stuff says, not a lot of safeties in the early going that have been mocked early look like
Green Bay Packers. And that's what's happening, right? Is they, you know, by that logic, they're taking a safety or a running back, and there is not one. I don't think.
Not at 25. Like the earliest, I think the earliest the Packers would think about taking a back is 41, and that's like Jonathan Brooks territory-ish. Yeah. And then safety wise, I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't know what the answer to some of those questions are. But Gutekunst talked about that. He also talked about an extension for Jordan Love, which is going to fall somewhere. The number that's being tossed around in Tom Silverstein's reporting is about $50 million a year. For those of you that's showing up shockwave numbers, that is what franchise quarterbacks cost. I still kind of chuckle at everybody like, oh my God, this guy got paid. It's like, well, yeah.
Especially when they added $30 million to the cap.
Right. Do you guys remember that like 2 week stretch in our lives when they didn't have a quarterback and how stressful that was? Like now you know why they cost so much. They're worth it. That's what quarterback play runs. You're not gonna get a great quarterback to play on Brock Purdy's salary forever. And like Brock Purdy, for example, is gonna get his money after this upcoming season. That's just how it works.
You pay Jordan Love, you aren't a team paying Brock Purdy $35 million a year.
Right, exactly. So that's
I wonder if they're – I mean, I know they don't have a time machine, but correct me if I'm wrong. The reason they can't pay him is because they just gave him an extension. And I don't think you can give a player two extensions within 12 months.
I've heard that, but it hasn't been like confirmed on that. So Gutekunst said they open discussions. He said it won't take, he says it's not going to be a short thing. It's not going to take a little bit of time, but they want to do it.
I almost wonder if that is the case, if they wish they wouldn't have done that. So they could have extended him at like 12.
Easy to say, but also like at the time, remember they didn't want to give him the fifth year option for reasons that I think we discussed a bunch. And not only that, this is one thing that I've talked about 1,000 times over, and it was part of the evaluation process with Jordan Love. It's stuff I argued about with Bears fans for Justin Fields. Teams do not do, for the most part, lame duck quarterbacks because there's just no stability in the organization when that happens. Nobody can play loose. It's everything is uptight because it's the same reason like Mike McCarthy was going into an expiring contract 1 year and the Packers gave him a 1 year extension because they didn't want, again, a lame duck coach, because how do you get it to where, you know, nobody thinks they have to listen to the coach because he's not going to be here anyways. You only got 1 year left. So, hey, we're going to suck and you're going to get fired. Like, bet on yourself is a nice, funny thing to like say. It's pretty hard to do in practice, especially on the football side of things. But that's the Jordan Love side of it, and that's the extension. Owen, you look like you had something, so jump.
Well, I was gonna say for front offices in flux or like ones that are theoretically on the hot seat. That's a nice way to buy yourself another year of having a job, or if you're a head coach doing the same thing, like, oh, well, I mean, it's a rookie quarterback. We got to give him another year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of the – that'll be – I promise you that'll be Matt Eberflus's argument this time next year if the Bears don't make the playoffs, which they might. It's possible. I don't know. That's not all Gutekunst talked about today. He talked about Keyshawn Nixon and the peace of mind that he brings to having him as the starting nickel. He talked about him being a first-year starter. I will say this. I am pro Keyshawn Nixon. I think that he got better as the season went on. I think by the end of the year, he was actually a pretty solid player at the nickel spot. I don't think he's as bad as like Pro Football Focus's grades and stats might say that he is. And I wonder, like, if the Packers are willing to give him a contract like that, I have a feeling the new defensive coordinator said something along the lines of, yeah, I can work with this. And I will also say that that position is one of the hardest ones to play in all of football because you are in the middle of the field. There is so much space to be used. These guys are quick, twitchy, fast, and they're off the line of scrimmage. So you can't really get your hands on them as much. Two-way goes, just all the stuff that goes into playing slot, it's difficult. And having a lockdown nickel corner is such a blessing, but there's like two of those in the entire league. Like there's just not that many of them. And that's just kind of how that has worked. So I'm curious how they do that. The Packers did have a top 100 or a top 30 visit with Jerry Jones, the nickel from Florida State, which makes me wonder, are they at least looking at those positions? Owen's giving me the devil horn, so I assume that's a Shrine Bowl guy. But I'm only guessing when I say something like that. But Owen, give us a little bit of insight, at least if you can, on Jones, since you got to work with him a little bit.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, so Jerren Jones is someone that and you're like, but when you're talking about, right, like a slot corner, you're a corner, you also need to be a safety, you also basically need to be like a Sam linebacker. And Jerren Jones is a special case. He played played primarily outside corner at Florida State for most of his career. He was, and I found this out, he was at the Shrine Bowl, but he was someone that I advocated for pretty strongly. This year had a really big senior year. He was moved to nickel the night before the LSU game. That game is zero snaps of practice at nickel. But, and the thing I think that I think this saved his draft stock, I think it saved his career, Jerren Jones, and I think he ran like a 4.4 or something with the pro day, which is obnoxious, is quicker than he is fast. Like as a perimeter corner, he struggled with deep speed, but he's a 6-foot, 209-pound corner that can tackle. He's quick and laterally, so he can handle two-way goes. He can handle the slot, and for the most part, when you're in the slot, you're not going to be running 40 yards downfield, right? So consistent tackler, good lateral ability. He is very sticky in coverage. And so he's a guy that I wasn't aware that they had a top 30 visit with him. That's really kind of brings a lot of my enthusiasm with, but is a kid too that, again, like in my brain coming into this year was probably going to be like an undrafted free agent perimeter cover three corner that couldn't run, but he was big. And then got moved to the slot the day before the LSU game. And I think it kind of saved him. Also, he's a kid at the combine, who mentioned multiple times about how grateful he was for Mike Norvell and sticking with him and helping develop him as a man. And he even kind of acknowledged, like, Seminole fans, thank you for sticking with me. It wasn't always easy. I didn't always make it very easy, right? So I think probably the improved maturity of him the last year or two would strike the Packers well in interviews. And so he's one of the rare guys also that is a slot corner that's not 170 pounds or is above, right? Like Mike Sainer still is one of my favorite players in this class, but he's small. Jaron Jones is not small and can play the slot. So I think that makes a lot of sense, especially if Halfley, who did play a lot of base at Boston College as well, or tried to, had smaller nickels there, and I don't think it was by design. I think it was due to need. So it wouldn't surprise me if they like Keyshawn Nixon's size in the slot, they would also probably like Jaron Jones' size in the slot.
Yeah, and that gets interesting too, because like you said, I think that's something that gets undersold. Is the reason I liked the idea of Nixon going into last year is he's a little bit thicker in terms of, because you, like you said, your slot corner is also a run defender. And that seems to be the route that a lot of teams are going, is they're attacking these small corner safety types in the run game and going after these players that way. So that's interesting. Morley, jump in.
Well, you know, I didn't, Owen just mentioned that he was told that he was kicking inside the night before the OSU game. I don't know if you guys heard of LSU's receiver that played in the slot. His name is Malik Nabers. Pretty good.
Not bad.
Not a bad player. And if you want to poke holes in his game, what a lot of people point to is the Florida State game. Guess who was meeting him in the slot? I mean, it was a lot of Jaron Jones. One of the few guys, like when you watch his tape and you want to say, okay, Jaron Jones, what can you do for me? That's the tape you put on, because – one of the few guys that was able to be physical with Malik Nabers this year. And I think that's a lot due to his size and because he does kind of have that rare athletic ability for someone in the slot. I wonder if, you know, Goody talked about the slot and the safety being interchangeable. I do wonder if they view him, you know, as, you know, in that vein of someone that, hey, he can play deep for us too, if we'd ask him to. And I think that's going to be something that's really interesting for this defense with Halfley to, you know, bringing in a guy like Xavier McKinney. That might be the blueprint of kind of what they're looking for on the back end of this defense right now, a guy that can do everything, a guy that can do a lot. And are they looking at Jaron Jones as someone like, hey, we think he's similar to that, and the only thing better than one Xavier McKinney would be two for us, someone that we can – you know, not have to play the true single high where you got guys chasing. You know, there's the thing about that, you know, Pete Carroll cover one stuff now is a lot of times, you know, people beat it with all this pre-snap motion and stuff. You got these guys chasing everyone all over the field. So you kind of want two guys that can do it. You kind of want to rock and roll that those safeties, which is basically just, hey, you're, you know, it's interchangeable. And so like when I saw that was the top 30 visit as well, that's like immediately kind of where my mind started going, because you look at, you know, the stuff we do for the draft guide, the spreadsheet stuff where you look at, hey, these corners, there's not a lot of them that meet their thresholds. Jaron Jones is one of them. And so the fact that they're bringing him in makes a ton of sense, you know, just because like, okay, one, this guy fits a ton of needs, you know, not he fits a need that they have and he checks a ton of boxes for them. The other thing too, that's funny about the Packers is if they bring you in for a pre-draft visit and you have like a draftable grade on you, they take those guys a lot, or they don't talk to the guy at all. Like it's like one or the other. Like Jacob, you remember last year talking on the pre-draft show, talking about all the tight ends, you know, there was so much smoke around all these tight ends. They had brought in every single tight end. They're like, there's like one tight end they didn't bring in and one tight end they didn't talk to, and it was Luke Musgrave. So like just the way they operate about stuff is funny sometimes. It's like either they're going to be leaving a trail or they're going to leave no trail at all. But Jerrion Jones is a player that I think is worth getting excited about. He's a fun player, and that is pretty cool and pretty exciting that they brought him in for a visit. He'd be a really, really fun pick for them.
He would. And that's, like you said, how do they flip those things? Or how, I do think that listening to Gutekunst talk about how like they want a young player, maybe that does mean they just take a true safety. But I do wonder if they are looking at maybe being a little more creative, or does that mean they just simply view like Cooper DeJean, for example, who's a popular pick, as a straight safety for the way this team will operate? Or does that interchangeability, you know, I don't know. I'm curious to see how that works. I'm curious to see how he talks.
One thing I want to ask you guys, because this has been brought up a lot recently, I'm curious on what your guys' thoughts are on – so, and you guys admittedly are a bit more locked in on this than I have. The Packers, if they like somebody but they don't think they're going to be a great tester and they don't test great, right? Like, I know most of their high picks are very high RAS guys, typically. But, like, for instance, they signed Xavier McKinney. So the free safety thing is a bit of a nix there, right? Probably. But, like, someone like Cam Kitchens, to me, seemed like he made a lot of sense. But he didn't test great. He ran a 4.6. So did Xavier McKinney. But the... I guess what I'm curious, like I would be curious in your opinion of is, for instance, I posted a mock draft on Twitter today with Tyler Newbin at 25, and I was told that they wouldn't draft him because he's not a good athlete. Do you think they would draft someone that wasn't a great athlete if they didn't expect them to be a great athlete? Or would that probably scare them away? To someone, and unless like they drop into the later second, where we've seen guys like Randall Cobb or even Amari Rodgers or like the non Packer guys. I'm just curious on your opinion on that, because right, we talked about this. Like, I do think they will go safety early or some type of defensive back early. Someone like Newbin would make sense because he doesn't have to play free. Someone like Kitchens is likely a better free safety than not. I think Newbin could do either.
So my take on that, just real quick, because Morley's will be longer than mine, is I don't think anything catches these guys by surprise is the answer to your question. Like, I don't think they ever, like watch Tyler Newbin run a 4.6, for example, and just be like, oh, well, we didn't think that was – like, I just think these guys are so much smarter than – maybe like the general public gives them credit for that, like they can look at an athlete and know like that's a 4.4 guy or that's a 4.6 guy and the play speed and stuff like that matters as far as the difference goes. But I would be a little surprised if they went that route, even if they said like, 'cause if they didn't expect them to test like that, like one thing that has been for certain, they haven't gone with any like outliers athletically in the first round. Like all of Gutekunst's first round picks have been super freakazoid athletes. They bent a little bit on some of the, they'll never do this stuff. They'll never take a short corner. They took Jerry Alexander. They'll never take a linebacker. They took Quay Walker. They'll never take an old guy. They took Devontae Wyatt. They won't pick a quarterback with three years left on the current quarterback's contract. They took Jordan Love. The one thing that has been at the top of that has always been the athleticism. Like Eric Stokes was a freakazoid. Rashawn Gary, like, I don't know the numbers and I don't read the RAS scores like you guys do, but I think Gary's was like a 9.97 or something like that. He was a 10 for a few minutes, like Calvin Johnson 10 for a while, but before a few things changed. But yeah, Morley, what's your take on that?
I mean, I think it's a really interesting question and it's a good question. And I think the Packers are really smart and I think they do things the way they like to do things. And I think, Jacob, you're right. I don't think Tyler Newbin, you know, or Cam Kitchens running what they ran or working out what they worked out was surprising. Because the other thing, too, is like they talk to the coaches. That's not the first 40 Tyler Newbin's ever run. You know, like if the coaches are being honest, and a lot of them will be, they'll be like, yeah, he's a 4.6 guy. Like this is how he's going to test. You know, they know that stuff going into it. I would hope that if the Packers feel a certain way, if they have a certain type of conviction about a player, I would hope that they would take him anyways, because you have to, you ultimately have to trust what you're seeing on the tape. And if you believe that a guy can be a good football player, even with the testing numbers that you probably were expecting anyways, then I would hope that you would take him, you know. And I, that's me saying that, knowing full well that they haven't in the past. And maybe that, you know, maybe the equation changes about where you take them, because knowing full well how, you know, the 31 other teams operate, like, hey, we, you know, we love Cam Kitchens, we love Tyler Newbin, but we don't need to take them at 25 anymore because they're going to be there at 58. You know, we just have a feeling about that. I think that all, you know, plays a factor into it. And I think that's all part of the puzzle that is the NFL draft. And that's why these guys are really good at what they do, because, you know, they're thinking about all these things and they're way more plugged in than, you know, any of us are about that stuff. I would be surprised if they took either of those guys with the way they tested, just because of given their history. But you can, like, Jacob, you hit on all of it. The only thing they really haven't done that we said they wouldn't do is take a bad athlete. They've done all the other stuff. And so, they could. And, you know, the thing about Goody is, in the grand scheme of things, he's still a pretty young GM for the most part. Like, so the stuff that we look at with him, we can't say it's set in stone, because, oh, he's never done this. Well, he's been here for like, what, 5 years, 6 years, which isn't nothing. That's not nothing. But he does kind of stick to what he likes to do. So we'll see. I hope my long answer, though, is that, and my short answer is, if they feel conviction about a guy and they knew that he was going to test like that, I would hope they'd take him anyways.
And a great example of, like, being more plugged in and knowing when they had to go take a guy was Goody's, not his first draft, but one of his first big ones, Darnell Savage. Packers are sitting at 30 and they traded up to 21, and everyone was like, oh, are they taking, you know, DK Metcalf or somebody to that effect? And it was Darnell Savage. And then Gutekunst basically said in his press conference that he knew, he was like kind of like winking and nodding at the reporter, but like, we knew we weren't going to be able to get him. Well, how did he know that? Because Milt Hendrickson, his right hand
from Baltimore during that draft class,
and Baltimore, correct. And Baltimore was picking ahead of Green Bay. So they knew they couldn't just sit at 30. And that's not the only way stuff like that happens. Like, people know, you know, a lot of times you'll call. They had that thing last year where Buffalo was calling to trade up. And then the GM asked, like, well, okay, who are you picking? Because if you're trading up with me to pick the guy that I want, then I'm going to tell you, yeah, no, we're not trading, because that's who we want. So they just take him there. You know, it's a game of chess, poker, whatever. The only ones that are obvious are always like we know right now, the draft could start tomorrow. Caleb Williams is going number one overall. And after that, it's kind of questionable, but we know, or we're pretty sure that we know, it's going to be some order of J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May after that. It's just a matter of how and when and who. Like, that's the way that works. But
another thing that kind of, you know, that relates to these guys and just, like, the phones ringing on draft day. I remember when they took Love, they traded up to go get Jordan Love. And me, you know, being – hearing stuff from the Kansas City sports, you know, seeing probably more than I even want to. Like, I just remember Veach talking at his press conference and said – almost verbatim, like, once Jordan Love was taken, like, someone asked him, were you entertaining moving back? And he just basically flat out said, once Love was taken, the phones pretty much stopped ringing. So it's like, okay, well, why'd they trade up, you know, three picks to go get Jordan Love? Because they wanted him, you know, and because they knew he was going to go in the next couple picks. So, you know,
and these the guys, foundation of those moves start, like, prior to the draft, you know, like, right, well before, like, there's some, the Vikings, for example, know, like, right now, kind of in general, what it's going to take for them to have to get up and take their quarterback. Please don't take J.J. McCarthy. I'd like to root for him.
You think they just pick up those phones on April 27th and start talking to people? Like, hey, what's it going to take? been happening.
I want all my first round picks back.
I want my picks back, all of them. What a great movie. We're going to have to do like our last episode before the draft. We're going to have to like do a movie breakdown of that movie.
All I ever think about is the Seahawks coach just sitting there just crushing pancakes in his office. Like that's like on the phone, just crushing pancakes, talking about Bo Callahan.
Football guy.
A Wisconsin quarterback. So of all things. Well, now I'm hungry. Want to go eat pancakes and watch some draft day. So we are out of time for this version of the show. Be sure to check us out at Packaday Podcast. You can follow me. I'm at Jacob Westendorf. You can follow Owen. He's at Reese Draft. You can follow Morley. He's at Jacob Morley. Buy the Green Bay Draft Guide. It's on Morley's Twitter page. You can find it at Packer Report. You can find it on my page. Features 225 profiles catered to your Green Bay Packers. I appreciate you guys listening tonight. Appreciate you listening next week. Next week, we'll start getting into some of the nitty gritty because our next episode will air on April 2nd, which is draft month. For those of you that are familiar with that particular month, thank you guys for listening. See you next week.